This episode has been brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.
Welcome back to The Last Storm. My name is Mark and I'm back with Dave, and we're here to talk about the Oklahoma City Thunder, and we're going to talk a little bit about the game against the Wizards and the upcoming game against the Nets.
I'm pretty excited about the next game coming up here. Obviously, anytime that we get an opportunity to play against ex-players of ours, we love it. We love to see these guys excel. Obviously, the Nets have a few of them, so it's going to be a lot of fun to be able to see how these guys are doing there. It's just something how it goes, but the reality is that I'm excited about this team and where we're at. I know that's saying something with the fact that we've lost like five in a row right now, but we've just seen some progression here that we're pretty excited about, and we'll get some time to talk to you guys about it today.
Yeah, as I watched a little bit of those replays from yesterday, I watched the whole game again, and I got to see quite a bit. And one of the things that really impressed me about the game was obviously we're starting three rookies, which is an outstanding thing to do, and we have so many young players in the rotation, which is going to give it's going to be a lot of difficulty, and there's going to be some struggles. But that whole fourth quarter, we were back and forth, and it was a great quarter. The whole game was really great, and we got to see a lot of excellent team passing, a lot of great individual passes, but just seeing the team come together and unite. One of the things I noticed in watching it again was that starting out, we had Aaron Wiggins on Kyle Kuzma. And Kyle Kuzma got off to a really, really solid start. And that was something that put us in a bad spot. He scored 11 points in the first half of the first quarter. And we went to Darius Bazley as our first substitute. And we put him right on Kuzma. And he was able to do a really good job defensively on Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah, and that's what we need to be looking at Darius Bazley as, is the sixth man that comes off the bench and puts, you know, big minutes in, whoever's that power forward or center that's really dominating at the time. You know, I want to reiterate about this team is that if you look at this team, the way it's built, last night you had Mike Muscala had 9 minutes, and you had Derek Favors who had 11 minutes. Those guys are the old men on the team. If you take out those two guys, the oldest person that got playing time last night would be Shea. I believe he's 24 years old. Everybody else is younger than that. Again, it's impressive to be able to say that. There's not a lot of teams that are built like this, and it's pretty exciting that our majority of the minutes are going towards the development of this team. Mark and I have talked about it over and over and over again, is we have to be able to see these guys play well. Now, Coach D understands that if you're not playing well against the starting team of the opposing starting team, then you should be able to move down to that coming off the bench. We've seen him do it with Ty. We've seen him do it Teo last year. We've seen him move these guys up and down in the starting lineup at all times. So it's no surprise that Bazley ended up coming off the bench. But man, has he been exciting to watch off that bench? It's truly spectacular. I don't know if it's just the fact that he gets a couple extra minutes of breather before he gets out there and he gets calm, but he is a different type of player. He shot 50% last night, you know, and I want to say this, if there's a lot of people that talk that we don't, you know, talk about the plus minus a lot. And the reason is that we're a very young team, and with a young team, the plus minus doesn't really show exactly what they're doing. I mean, yes, there are some freak of natures out there that the plus minus charts go crazy for them. But if you look at what Shea did last night, he had 32 points, right? He had only two turnovers, one steal, 8 assists, and 3 rebounds. Yet he had a minus 5 plus minus. Yes, we throw in there the defense or whatever else you want to look at, but you don't see the true picture of a player's game by looking at the plus minus, especially when they're young. So eventually when this team is getting better, Mark and I will be bringing that stuff up more. But at this point, it's not something we like to focus on unless we see it a big thing where it's like, oh, this guy did plus 15 or plus 25. Those are the type of things that we like to bring out. But the reality is that it doesn't really reflect these guys' game. And that's why, with Shea's game last night, I was just blown away with the way that he was able to hustle 32 points in 35 minutes. That's always awesome to see.
Yeah, and he really put on a clinic at finishing and driving to the basket. He started early, and he continued to drive all game and create opportunities for himself. We saw that same thing from Ty Jerome. We saw it from Lou Dort. And we really saw it in the first half. And coming into the second half, all of that effort we put into touching the paint and creating opportunities by getting to the paint started to pay off, and we started to get a lot of open threes. In that third quarter, we were able to hit, I think, 5 threes. I think we went 5 for 8 in that third quarter, and it was a really impressive display. Obviously, you work really hard to create that space, and then we were able to take advantage of that. And as the game went on, like I mentioned earlier, it was a lot of back and forth. And then as we got into that final minute, we made some mistakes in closing. And last night I said I just didn't really want to get too much into it. I'm glad I took some time to rewatch it because, yeah, I mean, I was a bit frustrated. I think most of that frustration came from KCP hitting that bank three. When he knocked down that three after Shea had scored 4 consecutive points driving, you know, it really, that was pretty much it. We tried to get it back. You know, Dort ended up missing a three. And the kind of the sequence was unusual because at that point, we've been seeing this team drive to the basket, definitely try to get a couple of baskets, take the two, put the pressure on the other team. So that was a shot that they drew up, but it just didn't seem consistent with what we had been doing. And then as the clock started winding down when they had the possession back, we really delayed fouling. We had a foul to give. So about 10 seconds came off the clock between the foul to give and everything. And then when we got the ball back, we didn't use a timeout. So we didn't advance the ball. We had one left. And then we just kind of dribbled the ball until the last second, even though we were down by 4. And we got a shot off that when you're down by 4, you're not going to get the win off that. So just a little bit of lack of execution in the closing out of the game. I know that we're working really hard on that. We've seen this happen before. And then we go back and we work on it. And then we don't have those same problems again. I'm thinking about, you know, early on, we received a rebound and then we failed to call timeout to advance the ball quick enough. This time, we didn't do that, but we chose not to do that. So it was different. That was something a part of the plan. But in the end, we've had a few miscommunications at the end of the games. And watching it again, it's clear to me that's something that we're just going to have to experience because through failure, you're going to improve.
Yeah, and if we've taken what we've learned in the past from this team and we watch what they've done is, you know, a couple hard losses here and there, and then they bounce back and they get a bunch of wins off in a row, whether it's 3 or 4. These guys are built like that. It's all about confidence. It's all about getting it together. And this was the most complete game that I've seen them play as a whole team. It was really great. Dort 17, Giddey's 18. Baisley's 14, Trey Mann's 11, Shea's 32, and Ty's 12. It was just a great job from everybody out there. For me, looking at this, Josh Giddey continues to impress me. 18 points, 2 turnovers, but 2 steals. So turnover-steal ratio was a 0, which is, you know, always a good thing to see there. And 8 assists, 6 rebounds, 2 of which were offensive. He is continuing to improve. He continues to get better. This is evident for everybody that's watching. You know, I had the privilege of listening to the radio the other day, and it was really great to hear how they just are, you know, gushing over Josh Giddey's game. To me, I just feel like he's gliding on the top of the floor. It's almost like he never touches the floor the way that he just, the game is so fluent to him. And it's something that you don't see a lot with young players, especially in the NBA. Usually there's like a jerk or a weird movement to their shot or, you know, a weird movement to their moves. And they get blocked a lot or whatever. But Josh, like, he learns on the fly. He learns really quickly. He's very competitive. So you can tell when he makes a mistake, he stops, he looks around and tries to figure it out. Sometimes he pushes the blame because he's a young kid. He doesn't necessarily know what to do. But other times he takes it on himself. And that's what growing is all about, is recognizing the mistakes you're making and revving it up and stepping it up and moving on from it. So for me, Josh Giddey has been playing some phenomenal basketball. He continues to impress. Obviously, he's been the only rookie of the month in the Western Conference. He's going to continue doing that. He's just a phenomenal player. And if he's not careful, he's going to end up taking away the rookie of the year if he gets a few more triple doubles. So this young man is just unbelievable.
Yeah, and he showed so much more than, you know, what we thought we saw early on. Yesterday, he had a couple of plays that were really, they stood out to me. A step back three that was just a dagger. And then he had this cross-court pass to Aaron Wiggins. And we always talk about Josh Giddey's cross-court pass, but there really isn't a more important pass in basketball right now. The way that defenses play, they basically use man-to-man defenses, but they use a lot of zone principles. So when you're in the help side defense, there's going to be a natural opportunity. So if you can get the defense to lean one way and then fire the pass the other way, there's going to be an opportunity in the corners. And he's got great vision, and he has the ability to deliver the ball on time and on target. And I mean, the precision is incredible. It just, the ball just ends up exactly where he wants it. I watched a really great segment that Royce Young did called The Path, and it's a really great thing that he did talking about Josh Giddey's passing, and you guys should check it out. It's on Twitter, but The Path by Royce Young, pretty dope stuff. He just, you know, he really lays it out. He talks to Josh quite a bit about some of the creative passing that he does and where he developed those skills. And I think, I think the way to say it is Josh Giddey's got a little bit of rugby pass in his passes.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's unique. It's something that we haven't seen very often. And it's something that I'm getting really excited about as it's more transitioning into what Coach D and what Sam Presti want from him for the future. Obviously, we can say it's going one way. But just like with every star and with everybody that we've ever seen come through Oklahoma City, is just when you think it's going one way, it, all of a sudden it just takes a hard right turn or a hard left turn, and you end up in a completely different scenario. We saw that with Mitch McGarry. We saw that with a bunch of other guys that have come through the way. We saw that with James Harden. When he was there, we thought it was going one way, and all of a sudden it cut, and there was James, an all-star. So, you know, we've seen this happen before, and so, you know, we try to taper down our expectations of the young guys. But the reality is that every single time we watch Josh, it's like, man, this kid. And the thing about it is that he's doing it night in and night out. It's not like one game he shows up and the next game he doesn't show up at all. It's night in and night out. It's consistency. And it's something that I haven't seen with a young player like this since, I mean, what are we talking about? 19 years old, LeBron James, LaMelo Ball. You can put them in all in the same category at this moment because they're 19 years old playing at this incredibly high level. There's not been very many of them through the years. And if you think about it, it just makes me excited because if you're putting him in the same category as a 19-year-old, as some of the great 19-year-olds we've seen in a very long time, it makes me pumped up. And I know there's a lot of guys that we're leaving out that were 19 getting into the league. But to me, it's just about the transition of where the league was at. And then all of a sudden LeBron comes in, or, you know, Kobe comes in, or, you know, whoever comes in at this young age, and they completely change everything. And I think that's what Josh Giddey's doing. And we can say, oh, yeah, Sam Presti is the master because he picked up Josh like this. But the reality is that you can't see the real masterpiece until it's finished. And he walks away and you look at the true thing that he built. And that's what we are all sitting here. And that's why we continually talk about the positive stuff, because that's what we have. You know, we have Sam Presti looking out for us. And it's just fun to be able to watch this team grow and build. And you know, we're 2-8 in the last 10. And we lost 5 in a row, like I said, but we're 13-27. And the reality is that we're only 3 games away from Portland, who is 10th place. Portland, Damian Lillard, news just came out that he's having a surgery on his abdomen. So best of luck with him. But, you know, that's going to hurt their chances right there. San Antonio Spurs are still having trouble. Kings are having trouble. And the Pelicans are having trouble. So there's an open space for us to be able to move up. It doesn't need to happen right now. It doesn't need to happen right after the All-Star break. We have the time. There's no reason for us to rush into it. We just have to start clicking as a team. And when that happens, good things happen. I think we're about at that moment where we're going to see this team rattle off a couple of really good wins in a row, and it will be really nice to see as they get everything together.
Yeah, man. When you look at the youth and you look at the fact that we already have established our big three, and then you're looking at, you know, getting some of these young guys, these rookies out there, and you have to find a way to figure out if you can count on them, what you can count on them for. The most important thing for every player in the league is figuring out how to be consistent, and that's going to take some time and patience. And, You know, our bench unit has been incredibly consistent for us, and a lot of the reason that that has been successful is because of the investments we made last year in giving some of these young guys opportunities. And we're going through it in a different version this year. So how it all works out, that's going to be up in the air. But knowing that we have our big three locked up, knowing that we have our bench in such a great position, and then just figuring out how we can get the other role players to be stars in their roles is what's going to lead us to the next level of success as a team. Like you said, we've seen some glimpses where this team just kind of clicks, but we're still waiting for it to take off. But we know that it's there. We see what's going on, and we see the potential they have. It's just about getting it all on the same page, and it's going to happen soon, but we've been interrupted with some various things this season, but we know what we're leaning toward and what we're striving for. So we appreciate you taking the time to join us once again, and we'll be back tomorrow with another episode after the game against the Nets. So thanks again, and we'll see you then. And as always, this episode was brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.